9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
God, I love a hand of applause. Good morning, good morning. How are you on this Tuesday, the Tuesday before the holidays, right? Good morning, everybody. Thank you guys for joining us for WTF Let's Talk with Karen and Danielle. Make sure that you go ahead and hit that follow button so you don't miss any of our shows. And if you are catching this on the replay, we are live on realtalkwithkarenstacy.podbean.com. And if you like catching it on the replay, you can listen on any of your favorite podcast platforms. So good morning and thank you for joining us. Danielle, are you with me this morning?
I am.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am okay. I want to just rant for a moment.
Go.
I'm not happy with the people in my household are so bah humbuggy. As you know this, and you know, my son is 14. He's going to be 15 in February. And now that, you know, we all know that, you know, well, depending on who's listening right now, you know, now that his beliefs in Santa have changed, life is very different. And it's literally like, I've been super busy and trying to get the house to be like Christmassy. And even outside, like my father-in-law would hang lights and put up, I bought these stupid snowmen thing. I know you have all of that stuff, you know, the snowman, Santa, all that crap for the front yard or whatever. Nobody wants to do anything. So I'm like, wait a second, where are all my things? Like, I know I have these things and they had some of them, you know, in their apartment and like nothing is up. So yesterday I finally said, I have Santa here. I want him up. You go ask your grandfather why nothing is up. And he didn't want to even do it yesterday. He finally put up two things today and said to my son yesterday, well, it's too late already. It's not too late. Christmas is in a week. So, well, less than a week. But actually, what day is today? Today's third. Yeah, whatever. It's coming, right? And so I'm like really annoyed because it's on me and I'm like doing everything, trying to bake, trying to make all the gifts, trying to do everything. And of course, I don't usually get one. So like, you know, I'm doing all this like opposite everybody else. Like no one is helping on here. So I just felt the need to rant about it right now.
Oh, I live in that world. So you're listening, I'm talking, you're talking and I'm like, okay. I do everything. So I do all the ornaments outside and I do all the cooking and I put the trees up. And yesterday I was wrapping gifts and right now I'm making empanadas and I do all the things and I looking at you, listening to you. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I have like, for what I've done in the past, you know, is like, especially when there are a lot of people in the mix, you know, I actually bake and I make stuff. And then I make my famous coquito and, you know, it would be much cheaper and easier if I just bought like two cases of wine and handed it out to people. I think like just now I ran out of like chocolate chips or whatever. I had to, you know, it's going to be like $60 for me to get more stuff. And I've already bought probably, you know, $100 or $200 worth of stuff already. And I said to myself, what's the matter with you? Why do you do this? But it's tradition. So here I am, and I don't know, it may go out the goddamn window. But anyway, Merry fucking Christmas.
Merry fucking Christmas, I know. Well, you know, it's funny because I do all the things, and I know we have to get to the topic in a minute, but I do all the things, although we had a really bad storm here a couple of days ago, and it looked like a Christmas massacre on my front lawn, right? Because my snowman was on the floor dead. My candy cane fell over. You know, all my little stuff flew all over the place. So I have to go back out there and fix it. I have no desire. When I tell you that I am not in the mood this year, I'm making empanadas because I have no choice. I still haven't gone to the supermarket to buy stuff that we need for the lasagna and the feast of the seven fishes and all this other stuff. And I could care less. Like, we finally got to some wrapping yesterday, but there's still a lot more to be had. And if Christmas just came and went, I would not really care. It's a terrible place to be.
It's terrible. And I, like, you know, I just needed to rant for a minute, and you know, I'll get over it. It's, you know, it is what it is. So, we have a hot topic, on the table this morning. And this was actually, I let, you know, we always discuss what we're going to talk about, but, you know, 9 times out of 10, Danielle's like, all right, go for it. I'll roll with it. Whatever you want to do. And Danielle was like, and I was trying to figure out what topic I wanted to discuss or whatever. And even though we were almost on the same wavelength, we weren't. And I said to her, you know what? Let's roll with that. So the topic today is, what makes men and women gravitate to narcissists and nasty people?
Ooh.
Okay, so now again, let's go one more time so that everybody hears this and let it sink in for a second. What makes men and women gravitate to narcissists and nasty people? So I'm going to say that I think the first thing that we need to, you know, cover is, what is a narcissist? So shall I read, or do you want to give your 2 cents on what a narcissist is, Danielle?
No, you can read.
Okay. So this is, you know, like on a Google search, right? So
textbook definition of, yeah.
What is the behavior of a narcissist? Narcissistic personality disorder. I didn't know that this was a freaking disorder, but okay. Is a mental health condition in which people have an unreasonably high sense of their own importance. They need and seek too much attention and want people to admire them. People with this disorder may lack the ability to understand or care about other people's feelings. Here's a what are symptoms of narcissistic personality disorders? Sense of self-importance, preoccupation with the power, beauty, or success. Entitled. Yes. Can only be around people who are important or special. Interpersonally exploitive for their own gain.
Yes, I know. A few people.
Arrogant. Uh-huh. Arrogant. Lack empathy. Must be admired.
Yes.
So I would say that, I don't know, maybe we know one or two of those in our lifespan, right?
One or two hundred.
Right? And
yes.
And the funny part is that most narcissistic people absolutely are not self-aware, right? So does a narcissist feel that they are a narcissist?
No. And if you
can point that out,
them, they get very upset and angry. I mean, they want very much to be accepted and approved and liked, but they in a sense feel that their presence in your life is like a gift, and you should be grateful, you know, even if they're nasty to you. If they're nasty to you, it's something that you did that caused it, not something that they did that caused it.
Oh, absolutely. That's your fault.
Yeah, it's absolutely your fault. And try to get an I'm sorry out of a narcissist. Good luck with that, you know, and they attack you to the point that, you know, they don't even realize the damage that they do. And they're like, well, you started it. I didn't start it. Like, I didn't make you do what you did that made me upset. Well, you're overreacting. You're dramatic. You're, you know, you're over dramatic.
Drama. Drama. Yeah, I don't do drama. I've heard that, you know, somebody, you know, that is close to me. It may not be a full-fledged narcissist, but definitely narcissistic tendencies. Mm-hmm. And I get that all the time. When I'm trying to express how I feel, it's, I don't do drama. Right. And I'm like, really? Because if you know me, I don't do drama either. I shut drama down like in 2 seconds. Am I dramatic? Hell yeah. But I don't do drama. Right. So I think that what happens is, and I think that word, I got to say, I think it's loosely, you know, used, right? Narcissist, because even with one of the definitions that I had read, it says that most people do have, you know, narcissistic tendencies, and that it's good to be, you know, secure and all of that, but that it's, you know, that obviously there's a level in which. So the funny part about that, right, because our topic is what makes us gravitate, you know, men and women gravitate to narcissistic people, you know, there's usually a real it factor to these people, right? They really are very charismatic.
Yes.
They exude this like energy, right? And
yes,
and you want to be around them. So it's a catch 22, right? Because, you know, then that, but then they gaslight you. So,
well, right,
and then,
because they behave that way in order to draw you in, right? Because they get their energy, or what do they have, whatever they call it. They feed off of you, you, in a sense. That's how I feel, because it's like, you know, the spider to the, you know, the fly, come here. And they, like you said, they gaslight you, and they'll tell you things like, you don't know how to, you know, they'll get mad at you for getting mad at them. Like, you know, I know a woman who's very much a narcissist, and she's very abusive to her boyfriend. And she'll, you don't know how to treat me. You know, you should buy me. You should, you don't know how to take care of me. You know, you're not a good boyfriend. And when I tell you that the man does everything, and none of it's right, you know, and you should just be happy to have me. I'm so beautiful. Look at my body. Da 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 da.
That's a more narcissistic thing. The other things that you were saying just sounded like abuse. You know, it's you know,
no,
again,
because she feels, because she's beautiful.
That's what I'm saying. The last thing you just said,
right? That she feels that she deserves all these things. Like, he should do all these things,
right?
And
right.
And when they argue, she tells him, "You're wrong. I'm right," and that's it. There is no back and forth, no discussion in the conversation. That you're wrong, I'm right. And he sometimes, you know, I used to watch him, like, you know, just spiral. And I said, why do you take it? Because for whatever reasons, deep down inside, because they're very nice in the beginning when they draw you in. They're very nice. Right?
They're nice. Charismatic. Like I said, they exude this. Yep.
They're so loving. And when they turn on you, you spend so much trying to get back to that original person that you do all of these things. And these are their expectations. And they will literally beat down on you emotionally and mentally because they feel that they deserve it. And you should do these things.
I think that, like I said, you know, I do think there are different forms of narcissism. But the main gist of it is, yes, they'll love bomb you, if you will, and they make you feel like you're important because they're important. Like, so right. Like, you know, like you're part of like I'm a superstar. And you get to hang out with me. So you should be, like, you know, worshiping the ground I walk on, right? Because I'm amazing, and you'll take whatever I give you, and I will keep, you know, and it's like that enticement. So, you know, especially, so, you know, I always talk about there are givers and there are takers, right? And the takers always find the givers. And so usually, if I'm not mistaken, and don't quote me on this, usually a lot of empaths are drawn to narcissistic people. And that's like a clusterfuck in and of itself, because, you know, you feel the good in that person, and because you're, you know, an empath, but then you're also absorbing all of that, toxic, you know, energy, you know? So like, that's this is where the trouble comes in, is where it becomes toxic. So it becomes toxic because it's like, they will just shut you down.
Well, cause they're like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, you know, in front of people, in front of people, a narcissist will be, like you said, the most charming, you know, they're outgoing, they're fun. And then the minute you get them behind closed doors, they're like, boom, they drop the wall. And you're like, what the hell just happened? You know?
Yep. Academy Award winning performances.
And you look at them sometimes like you almost want to wake up and like, which one are you? Like, who are you today? Like, right. You have no idea.
Right. Which is really challenging for people like you and I, right? Because, you know, what you see is what you get. It was really funny because I was at an event this weekend that I attended. It wasn't my event. And it was for a radio station that, you know, one of my, you know, dearest friends, my sister from another mister, Miss Lady Theta, was DJing. And the radio station, the guy MDW, you know, he's like, damn, girl, you are exactly like your show. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, like, well, I don't perpetrate the fraud. Like, I'm not getting on there and talking. And I'm, you know, one person. I mean, yes, you have a certain persona, you know, but at the same token, like, everything I say is, I say it. I mean, Danielle's known me, you know, for decades. This is who I am. If you meet me and Danielle out, we're going to be the same people that you're listening to right this minute. And a lot of people aren't, right? Because they perpetrate the fraud or they have a front. Right. And you know, and they're storytellers. That's what I've noticed with a narcissist. I don't know if you've encountered that, Danielle, but I noticed they're storytellers. They like to, they'll repeat something and they perform for the audience. And yeah, they'll talk about, right? Like, so they talk about, like, in particular, someone that I'm thinking of, you know, when they're in a room full of people, they got to tell stories, and they tell stories from previous things, and they're performing for the audience, right? Have you encountered this before as well, Danielle?
Yes. I, you know, now, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm home, I'm married, I'm this and that. What I see is the they perform almost for social media. Like, they'll put things on social media like you would think what they're doing. I mean, while they're home on the couch, but they let people they air this image that they're like doing all these amazing things, and you know, basically to blow themselves up for their own, you know, for their own self-importance.
But again, not to confuse it, right? There are a lot of people that do that, but and they're not narcissists. Those are just self-centered people. So when you title someone as a narcissist, you're it's a toxic level. When you're selfish, that's not toxic. It's just, you know, like, well, annoying.
I guess I would say this because I know the person's narcissistic. So that's how I view it.
You're a guilt by association.
Okay, yes, guilt by association. Okay, we'll go with that one.
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you guys for tuning in. Good morning. It is Tuesday. What day is today? The 18th, the 19th, the 20th? What day is today?
Today is the 19th.
Okay. And it's almost freaking Christmas, and I'm running like a nut trying to get ready, as is Danielle and probably the rest of you listening. So thank you for tuning in to WTF Let's Talk with Karen and Danielle. Again, hit that follow button. If you are listening live, make sure you hit that. And also check in with us. If you're listening live, comment so we know you're here. We always like to hear feedback from our audience. And if you are catching this on the replay, you can also listen to this on any of your favorite podcast platforms. And today we are talking about why people gravitate towards narcissistic people, or nasty people. And so let's talk about why, like, men and women gravitate towards men and women that are narcissistic. Let's talk about that, because okay, the sex is awesome. All right. So let's just keep it real right now, because even though a narcissist is very selfish, usually they do the right thing because they're so eager to make you, you know, be all about them. Yeah.
Yes.
And I might digress that they may be that awesome when it first starts. Right. But,
yes.
Right? Okay. Right. So, yes. Right. And now, just the same way 5 minutes ago, Danielle, you said, you know, you meet this person and they're a certain way and you're like engulfed in the essence of who they are, yeah, right? And sure. So now it's like, you know, I go to this restaurant. Every time I go to this restaurant, my drink is off the hook. So you go there and you know you're going to get this great drink. And all of a sudden you start going and you're like, huh, it didn't quite taste the same as the last time I was there. All right, well, you know, whatever. And then you go back again and you're like, yeah, no, it doesn't taste the same as the first time I had it or the second time I had it. And then you're like, hmm. And then you go back a third time and you're like, yeah, this sucks.
Right. Like, what the hell? Damn it. Mm. Yes. And then it's true, but it's true. It's, you know, it's they put their best effort in to make sure they draw you in. And once they feel they have you, they stop trying. And yeah. Then at that point, you're so enamored, right? You're so involved that you're like, well, shit, what the fuck happened? Right? Like you said, you go back for the third drink and you, oh my God, what happened? What happened? And you keep trying to get back there and there's no going back. Once they know they have you, trying to get out of a narcissistic relationship is terrible. It's very hard.
Yeah. And it is interesting how people are drawn to it, right? Which is what the topic is today.
Right.
You know, it's go ahead.
I'm sorry. I sometimes sit back and say, you know, when I see for instance, if I see a guy who's in like a relationship with like a narcissist, I'm like, oh my God, he must have had mommy issues, right? So because they're always looking for that acceptance. They're always looking for that approval. They're always trying to like get, why doesn't she love me anymore? Why doesn't she love me anymore? Why doesn't she appreciate me anymore? And I just say, maybe she's just never did. Maybe she played you the whole time, you know? But people don't want to hear that. We always want to believe that, no, they love me for who I am. They love me for the relationship. They love me for all these things. So we keep going back and we keep feeding it and we keep feeding it.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to disagree. I know what you're saying and I agree to a certain extent. But, you know, I mean, for instance, you know, I would most people that have narcissistic tendencies are very broken and they are toxic. That said, they usually have a huge heart.
No, I don't know. I see them as very emotionally unavailable.
Yes, but because, and you're right, and but that's also a lot of people that are emotionally unavailable have a lot of heart, and something has happened during their lifespan that has made them detach their heart from the essence of who they are. So that is the reason why I think that they're so disconnected and they don't recognize that that they're, you know, they're gaslighting people because to them it's normal. If you tell, like we just discussed, right? If you tell somebody, you know what, you're a freaking narcissist, they'll look at you like you're crazy, right? I said it to somebody and then I sent them the definition, like, you know, read, you know, like this is. But yes, that person has a good heart. That good heart has been through hell, like so many of us, and they need to have the love. They need to have that crew. They need to be the center of attention. They need to be the life of the party because they are empty. And this is what fills them.
I know, but you know what? When you get upset with them, they'll minimize your distress. They'll like look at you. I didn't think you'd get so upset about something so simple. Like, you know,
trivial drama.
I did that before. You didn't care. Like, why is it such a big deal now? You know, and you just look at them like, what? You know, because if somebody does something to you and it hurts you, you know, or upsets you, and you try to be a grown up, right, and communicate, you just assume, but they'll do it again. And their answer is, well, I did it before. You know, what's the big deal now?
It wasn't
that it wasn't a big deal before. It's just that I tried to communicate with you that it bothered me and I thought you wouldn't do it again, but they'll do it again. And then they blame their shift in behavior on you.
Yeah. It's like an alcoholic. You made me drink. Oh, I made you drink. I held you down on the ground and poured the bottle into your mouth. Well, right. You made me drink. You made me do this. This is what an abusive person does. They never take accountability for their own actions, and it's everyone else's fault. And what they do, a lot of narcissistic people do as well, is they try to alienate you from those around you because they don't want your best friend or, you know, whomever to turn around and call them out on their bad behavior. Yeah. So now they try to isolate you again, like an abuser does, right? An abuser knows if I tell you my boyfriend is beating me up, what are you going to do? You're going to be like, Karen, are you kidding me right now? I'll come and I'll grab you right out of that house right now. They don't want that. They want you to fall victim and then say, but you know how much I love you, baby. Why do you listen to Danielle? Danielle doesn't care about you. I care about you. Look at everything I do for you.
Right. Right. And like, and it's a if you wouldn't have done this, then I wouldn't have done that. Like, so
correct.
Right. Their behavior is based off of something that you did that triggered them, not something that they just wanted to do.
Right. No accountability for their own actions. And that is, and I mean, my brother was a narcissist. And so I have been trained very well, God rest his soul, but you know, I saw all of that in action. And you know what? I have gravitated to people like that because I knew his heart. And his heart was, he was just so broken from things that had happened in his past. And, you know, and so you fall in love with the heart of the person,
right?
But who the essence of them, or not even the essence, because the essence of them is also what you fall in love with. But their actions are deplorable.
Right. Yeah.
And some of us that, like you just said earlier, right? You got a daddy issue. You got a this issue. You got a that issue. You know, they know, again, the givers and the takers. The takers always know how to find those givers, right? They'll zero right in. Oh, you know what? This one, she has a heart, or he has a heart, or, oh, he's going to pay for this, or, oh, yes, he's going to understand that, or she's going to whatever. And they're master manipulators. And the saddest part is that they don't think that they're doing anything wrong. They think they're right.
Oh.
That's the part that's bad, is that they think that they are in the right. And when you point out to them, like you just mentioned, that they are not, they will go for your jugular.
I know. They'll be like, after everything I've done for you, this is the way you treat me? You're like, wait, what? You know?
Yeah.
Yes. You know, and it's, and they almost put you in a situation, like you sit back for a minute and they make you question your own self. Like you can have proof, you can have evidence.
Yep.
And like, that doesn't mean anything. I don't know what you're talking about. That never happens. And you'll be like,
but
I, this, or I saw you, or I saw, are you? Nope. I don't know what you're talking about. It wasn't me. Right. And then And then they turn it on you, and then you wind up being the one like looking for forgiveness.
Crazy. Yeah, it's amazing. Like it's the flim flam. Like, and I used to watch my brother do that, and I was always marveled. I was like, how the hell did you just do that? Why am I apologizing to you? You just fucked up. And I'm apologizing to you, because you know what happens is that now they're hurt. And they're scorned, and you did this to me. And you literally, they're so good at what they're doing that you feel guilty, and you're apologizing to them for them screwing you. And
right.
You go to yourself, how the hell did I just do that? How did that just happen? How'd that happen?
Yeah.
And it really, I call it the flim flam. I mean,
I like that. Yeah. The flim flam.
It is.
Because
it's the flim flam.
And then you go back and whether you're, you know, depending on where you were, you get in your car, you go back to your apartment, or you sit down in your bed and you're like, the fuck just happens. Like I had to
scratching your head.
Yeah, I had this dead to rights, and now I'm in the wrong.
WTF?
Like what? Right, exactly. Like and then that's it. And then they have an attitude with you all day, and you're the one groveling to try to like get everything back on track. Like I wouldn't say groveling, but you're the one like, you know, oh, can you do this for you? Can you do
scrambling? This you're yes, scrambling
because now you need to try to put them in a better place so that they'll give you their favor. Like they'll be like, oh, okay, like I forgive you, but they'll never say I forgive you. They'll never say they're sorry. They never say any of that. That you can't get a narcissist to say they're sorry because they're never wrong. You did it. It was your fault.
When they say it, if they do happen to say that, you'll get a sorry.
Yeah.
Or it's like when you tell your kid, you know, like you have to apologize to, you know, so-and-so and they walk over and they're like, sorry. I'm like, oh, wow, that was really heartfelt. And you'll get one of those or you'll get, well, I'm sorry if you felt that way or I'm sorry you feel that way, not felt that way. I'm sorry you feel that way, you know,
your behavior is so childish. You know, and I laugh because I have a friend who was dating somebody who was, and she used to get so upset with him and they used to break up and she'd block him. And, he would like call from like different numbers or, you know, this or that.
Yeah. Healthy.
Block numbers. And you're so childish. Grow up. This is your fault. You know, if you weren't so this and you weren't so that, I wouldn't have done this and I wouldn't have done that. And she's like, I'm nothing but nice to the man. She's like, I just love him and he just, you know, and she would get upset with him and she would make a negative comment towards him and he would take it to a level and she'd be like, well, why don't you just understand that you hurt my feelings first, you know? Right. But no, and then right. It escalates to a level that now all of a sudden like she's looking at me and Tia's blocking his phone number crying and I'm like, wait, what the fuck just happened?
But right, because it's just so toxic. So you know, I've actually, what I do is, you know, what I do, my thing that I do when I deal with people like that, usually, like, for instance, there's two people in my life. Well, like I said, you know, like with, let's say my brother, I would, you know, when he was in, like, usually narcissistic people also can be kind of like you said, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. So sometimes they're running high or they're running low. Mm-hmm. And when you get them, when they're like in like that, like a certain point where they're listening. Cause there are those like 7 seconds that they do. They're like on the level. And if you get in at that point, you're in good shape because then they may hear what you have to say. Or I'm famous for texting the person. And whether or not they want to acknowledge it, I don't care because I said what I had to say. So right. I will get my point out like, hey, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I know that they see it and they hear it. And the funny thing is that, you know, one person in particular I'm thinking about, I might state certain things. And a year later, we'll be having a conversation and those things I stated came out. And I'm like, oh, okay. So you do listen. You just pick and choose when you want to, you know, like behave, if you will. Right. But yes, it is. It's definitely like a mind fuck. And what was the thing? I know my husband always used to say it, the Kevorkian. What's the was it from Star Trek? Remember they used to do that thing where they used to like get their brains, like they would like hypnotize them, the mind.
The Jedi mind trick?
Yes, the Jedi mind trick. Thank you. That was it. And because my husband always used to talk about, like, he used to say that, and it's true. It's almost like they just do this like mind fuck on you. And all of a sudden you're like, yes. Okay, my master.
It's true. And what else can I do for you? You'll find yourself running around like,
yep.
You'll find yourself running around doing 100 things while they just trying to please them because you never know from one minute to the next what kind of temperament they're going to have, you know? Oh,
right.
And you'll do 100 things, or maybe you'll do 99. And it's that one thing that you don't do that they will bust your balls about, you know?
Yep.
They don't see it. They don't, oh, you don't do anything for me. What do you mean? I just did 99 things for you.
Right. You don't understand. I mean, it would be like, you'll spend your last dollar on this person and then they'll complain that it wasn't enough or whatever. Yeah. And then they go, but you don't understand. Like, that's always the best, but right. You don't understand. I don't understand. I just lent you money. I can't pay my bills now. I don't understand what you're going through.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are you don't know how to fucking take care kidding of me? You don't know. You don't give me money for this, or you don't give me money for that, or, and you just sit back and like, well, you're a grown ass person. Why don't you have your own fucking money? You know what I'm, you know? And, right. But you know, but it takes somebody from the outside looking in to like, what are you doing?
Right. And, because you're so far in the trance.
Yes, exactly. You're so far into it that you're like, oh, like, and they're jealous. They're very jealous. Like you said, they're very controlling and they're jealous and they try to like minimize your circle.
Monopolize. Yeah.
And they hold you in like, I don't want you talking to anybody. I don't want you going anywhere without me. I don't want you doing this. I don't want you doing that. And you think, oh my God, they love me so much. Look, they want to be with me all the time. They're jealous. That's not it. They're controlling every aspect of your life so that they are the ones they, like you said, they'll tell you how to think, the Jedi mind trick. Oh, you know, and I go, what do you mean you can't, like, what do you mean, like, you can't go out without that person? Like, aren't you like a grown up? Oh, they don't like it. You know, they're jealous. Why? Mm. You know, why? Because what happens is if you break the cycle and you happen to venture outside the bubble, you might actually realize that you are in a terrible relationship and this person is mistreating you.
Yep.
And they can't have that.
It's a very hard thing. And like I said, you know, I go back to, you know, for anybody that's listening right now and they see the loop, right? A lot of times we are not self-aware. And so we have to know when we migrate to people like this, why we do that. Now, obviously, one of the main reasons is because they're very magnetic. And like I said earlier, they're usually, you know, the highest energy in the room. And you feel like, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, like people always want to be where the action's at, right? Well, some people do. And so if you are with this person is so high functional and high energy. Like normally a narcissistic person, like, you know, I have somebody, you know, that's dear to me. Every time we go out, they're always like, oh, so-and-so is the best. Oh, he's the best. He's the best. He's the best. He's the best. And I'm always like, damn, too bad I don't get to see the best anymore. And everywhere right. you go, that person is the best. So at least you know that if you bring in that person out, they're not going to make you look bad unless, you know, it develops. But people want to be around that person. Everybody wants to be around a winner, right? Well, what they think is a winner. Just like what you were saying before, you know, like nobody wants to be with the only people that want to be with the ugliest person in the room. Is the person that is so insecure that the person that they're next to is going to be prettier, more handsome or whatever than the next. So you know what? Everybody got issues. So it's just what issue are you dealing with, right? Are you jealous? Are you a clout chaser? Like who the hell are you? You know, people want to be in the winning circle and a narcissist will make you feel that they are doing you such a favor because they have included you in their circle.
Their circle. That's true. But, you know, but we sit back and, you know, meet just even mean people, not even maybe just narcissists, you know, obviously yep. We always think people think goes hand in hand, but, you know, I'll give you a, for instance, my daughter is 12 and she has this boy who likes her and he is the sweetest, nicest boy. And he likes her so much. And he always tells her how beautiful she is and how grateful he is that she's in his life. And that, you know, and he doesn't try anything. They're 12. You know, he just likes to talk to her on the telephone and, maybe hold her hands in school, whatever. And she stopped talking to him yesterday. She told him, I really, I like you and everything, because she likes another boy. And the boy is mean to her. He ignores her, but that's the one she wants, right? So, why? She's like, I don't know. It's just something about him, but he ignores me, Mom. How am I going to get his attention? I go, those are not the ones you want. But there's something about the challenge. It's the thrill of the chase, right? It's like, I'm going to get him. I'm going to show you that I'm going to get him. I'm going to get his attention. And we do it. And it's so primitive of us, right? But,
and dysfunctional.
And very dysfunctional, right? Because you would think that, listen, I'm married now 17 years with my husband, 22. He is a nice, normal man. But sometimes his normal gets boring, right? So, we go through it. But when I sit back and I look at other relationships, I thank God that I made the choice that I did make, because I could not even fathom being in such a toxic relationship that it's constantly like, this emotional roller coaster all the time. My husband's, he's not narcissistic at all. And he wrote me like a love letter yesterday, and it was like so cute. But like you said, it gets, and I looked at Paige, I go, but look at Daddy. She's like, yeah, but Daddy's boring.
I love it.
And she's 12. We're already starting it. It's already like, I see the heartbreaks coming. Like, holy shit. Like, you can't even warn them, because I don't know what it is about us as humans or, animals or whatever. We want what we can have. We want that chase. We want that mean person. We want that. I don't even.
Yeah. Well, I think, years of therapy will help with that. But, it is a very, it's a delicate balance, and it is interesting. There has to be a little bit of a give and a take in order to keep, the momentum going. And like I said earlier, one of the draws to being with these type of people is that, it's chemistry. Most of the times when you have that kind of chemistry with another person, that will make for better, physical contact and such. So, usually the people that, let's face it, the people most of the times, and I think we might have touched upon this in other shows, right? Most of the times, like, the people that you have the best sex with are definitely not the people that are like your life mate or soulmate or whatever, words you want to use. It's rare that you, because the person that you have sex with for like 48 hours straight is usually not the same person that is, your best friend. Sometimes we are blessed, to meet those people. They're very few and far between, but in our lives, as we grow and, have experienced different partners and such, most of the times, the more toxic the person, the more passionate and the better sex that you're going to have, which is really like, I'm just like getting depressed even thinking about that, because I really want to have some great sex, and I really don't want to get involved with any more crazy people. So, I don't know.
Listen, I'm going to just say it. I'm married 17 years and I miss good sex with crazy people, because it's just good. Like, you just walk away like, that was awesome, And you want to do it again. Can we do it again? You got to
find. Now, remember, Right, not to interrupt you, but you know, you just made me think, and I wanted to talk about this, and maybe you and I should do this. Remember that thing on Netflix? What was the name of that show?
Sex Life.
Okay, so you and I, like, we had like blurted a few things out. I was going to do it with another person, but that's not happening. I wanted to do like a review and discuss the episodes of that show, which I'm sure now that I'm saying it out loud, 30 people will try to, you know, copy what I just said and say it was their own idea, but that's a whole other issue. And so the premise of that show is exactly that. It's this woman that married Mr. Perfect that now lives in the suburbs. She's gorgeous. Her husband is like all American, yes, gorgeous, right? But, and she has two children. She lives in a beautiful house. They have a beautiful life. He's very successful. Everything is what you would like raise your daughter to want to have. Correct. And this girl, this woman was with a man who was very narcissistic and very self-centered. And they would have sex in like the, you know, the train station. You know, he could literally just look at her and like tell her to come and she would. Her
body, just like, duh-duh.
Boom. And she had this happy relationship where she had everything she ever wanted. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't get this man out of her head and this life that she had, right? And so it's kind of like what you were just saying, right? You're living a life that fulfills you. But there's this pull to this other life that you had and you miss that aspect of it.
Yeah, just that craziness. Yeah, that you see that guy and you just meet him and then the next thing you know, you go on a date or maybe you don't, who knows, and you click and you're like, oh my God. And you know, and then it's funny because I used to say this. You have to decide, like when you meet a guy, you have to decide if you want to date the guy or if you just want to have sex with a guy, and you'll know, right? And you'll know because based on the guy's behavior, like you said, if you're a narcissist, you see some sort of tendencies, you're like, oh, I'm just gonna have sex with this one. And you're not going to get too attached and you're going to try to keep it moving. And, you know, when I've explained this to my husband a long time ago, and I'm like, girls, if a girl wants to date a guy and really wants to make a relationship, she will not sleep with that guy. Trust me. She will hold out and she will take it. Not nowadays. Girls fucking, they open their legs so fast. But back when we were growing up, you waited because if the guy stuck around, that's how it went. If the guy stuck around and you guys weren't, you know, having sex and stuff like that, he was there because he was interested. You know, if you give
Wait,
it away.
Wait, I got to interrupt that for 1 second because we both grew up in the Bronx. And we grew up where I remember this freaking Guido saying it to me. You know, you got to make the guy have like blue balls, because if you make them have right. blue balls, then they respect you.
Correct. So go ahead. There you go. Right. So, you know, listen, my husband, we waited almost 4 months before we had sex.
And I married the only one night stand I had. So, oh you know God. What? That shit goes out the fucking window. You know, I don't believe in that, but go ahead.
All right. But, you know, but listen, you know, we sit there and I talk to people now and I go, you know, and girls like, oh my God, like, I don't understand. Like, you know, he just wasn't interested. Well, how fast did you sleep with him? I slept with him on the first night. Why the fuck would you do that? Listen, there's at least a 3-day minimum, right? There's at least a 3-day minimum. At least go on 3 dates before you have sex with him. You know, have a little respect for yourself. So anyway,
Whoa. Chill out a fucking minute. Okay. I have a lot of respect for myself, but if I want to go there, I'm going
to
go there.
Yeah, but she met this guy in an app. Listen to me, you know? But anyway, but I know.
I know, but I want to just scratch that because I've heard a lot of women say that. Oh, well, if you have respect for yourself, then you wouldn't do that. I have a lot of respect for myself. So if I choose to have sex with somebody, I still respect myself. And whether or not it may or may not have been the right decision is a whole other story. But well, I still have a hell of a lot of respect for myself.
I have met guys and said to myself, I don't want to date them, but I definitely want to sleep with them.
Right.
And I do that.
Thank you. So does that mean you didn't have respect for yourself?
No.
Okay, then.
No.
So let's scratch that from the record.
Okay. So you have to pretend to have respect for yourself if you want to date them for a long period of time. We'll go with that one, okay?
No, I still don't like it.
I still don't like it. But you remember, okay, so we're going to go back to, and we're going to touch on because maybe you want to recap. How do you know if you're good in bed, right? We're going to go to that. Okay, so I know somebody who went to California. Listen.
That was our show. Just for anybody that wasn't that doesn't follow our show, we right. did a show, whatever it was, a couple of weeks, month ago, whatever. How do you know if you're good in bed? So right. she's referring to that. So go ahead.
So, you know, we go back to this, right? That connection. So that, like, that oh my God moment. So the person that I know went to California for a music festival. She met some guy. She had sex with the guy. He liked it so much. His ass flew from Utah to Miami the following weekend. Just to hang out with her again. And that's how you know, right? So,
Danielle has left the building in the middle of a sentence. She's probably doing 13 things at once, and her earbud decided not to work.
You know, good.
Danielle, I'm here.
Good sex will make you stupid.
Oh, is that what just happened to your phone?
Good sex will make you stupid. It's a fact, right? And then these narcissists, they give you, when I tell you, they give you the whole effect. You know, you got the stars and the fireworks and the this, and you know, if it's a girl, she'll be extra pleasing and extra accommodating, and then when she's got you, boom, guys too. I mean, look, guys too, they'll make you walk out of there like, oh my God, like,
yeah,
I found the one. This is it. Like, he's sweet, he's nice, he's so good to me, he's good in bed, he's all this, and then they drop the hammer on you.
Right. He's all about me. It was all about, you know, like doing it for me. And then, but you know what? The funny thing is that you do learn a lot about a person. You do, like, especially if you're having sex with them, because usually anybody that is a selfish lover, that tells you everything you need to know about them. Because
yeah, sometimes after a while, they become a selfish lover.
Correct. Yeah, no, agree.
Sudden, like, you're like, where's the foreplay? Where's this? You know,
yes.
You're not just jumping in and jumping out. Like, what the fuck, you know?
Right. Exactly. Like, you know, let's save that for, like, you know, if we're married for 37 years and, you know, whatever. But yeah, 100% very, very true. You know, but the whole thing is that, you know, what I would like to, you know, I always try to give people something to hold on to when they listen to the show, right? So for the people that are listening that have a tendency to migrate to narcissistic people and such, you know, first of all, some of us really, you know, you get pulled in. You know, most people, most toxic people, most abusers, like I said, they were givers and takers, and nobody is ever going to try and pull something over on you if you're aware of it, right? So a lot of narcissists are able to maneuver their way into people that are very aware, right? So, I mean, would you say that the people, like, I'm assuming, do you have any people that are, you know, are narcissists that you were in, like, friendly with or in a relationship with, and then you recognize, like, holy shit, what am I doing?
Yes. Yes.
Right. So my point is that, I mean, you would think, like, if somebody heard us talking, like, oh yeah, no, Karen, Danielle, no, they would never let, you know, they would never fall for that shit. No way. They would never fall for that. Yeah. Well, guess what?
Fall for it. I had to move out of state to get away from it.
There you go. Know?
And
so
that's why. And the ugly male, and, you know, obviously, because you still, I was living very far away, you know, but they still, you know, a friend will be like, oh, so-and-so is so upset. He's trying to reach you and so-and-so. And then you fall for it, right? Because now you feel bad because you made them feel bad, right? And I would talk to them on the phone. This was before beepers and cell phones and all the things. And it was my first and it was my only. And actually, that's not true. But and the ugliness. Oh my God. I mean, when I tell you the emotional abuse and the beating of your self-esteem that they do to you to make you feel bad for the things that you supposedly did to them, it was a bit of a recovery. When I tell you I was gun shy for a long time, I wasn't in a relationship for a long time, probably about 4 years after that relationship, because anytime I met anybody who showed me just like a whisper of that behavior, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I ran.
Right. Right. And so it is, and again, it's abuse. So people will, you know, either go from one end to the other end of things. And it is very, very challenging because, you know, the next person isn't the same as that person, right? But a lot of times we carry this baggage. I mean, my best advice to anyone that wants to kind of figure out, like, maybe they're not sure, is this person like a narcissist? Is this person doing the flim flam on me? Like, what's going on? The first thing you need to check is accountability. If the person does not take accountability for their actions, that is a dead giveaway. Yeah. Because I am the first person to take accountability. And sometimes you don't even realize it because I was recently in a situation where you listen to, let's say, a person you become friendly with, you're listening to them and you're forming, I mean, although I don't form opinions on people based off of what someone else says, I always form an opinion based off of how that person is with me. But when you don't have interaction with that other person and all you can do is gauge this other person on what someone else is saying, then you have to take accountability for your role. Because, you know, if I'm led to believe that someone is a certain way and then I actually take the time to get to know this person and then I recognize, wait a minute, I don't see any of these qualities or characteristics that this other person was saying that they have. So the first thing out of my mouth would be, I am so sorry. I wasn't really aware. I didn't really know who you were. And now that we're interacting, I see things differently. So that's taking accountability and recognizing your role in a situation. If you are around a person that does not take any accountability for their role in anything, that is a huge red flag. So somebody can't always be right and somebody can't always be wrong. It's impossible. I mean, I guess it's not, depending on who you're dealing with, but you know what I'm trying to say.
I do know what you're trying to say.
You know, I mean, narcissistic people, the best thing I can do say is, again, it's the flim flam, you know, it's gaslighting. It's, manipulation, it's abuse. And you have to recognize when you're being manipulated, you know, like, so I always say that I'm not being used because I recognize what's being done to me. I choose to do what I'm doing. Nobody forced me to do it. I'm not being used. I know what I'm doing and I'm doing it. Whether or not I should or shouldn't is a different story. But you know, you don't just get used like that. You put yourself in a situation. You have to be self-aware enough to recognize if you are being used, if someone is manipulating you. And so, like I said, one of the first things I would say is, you know, like if you search narcissism, you search all these type of things, you know, it has all of these questions, like, how do you know if someone is a narcissist, right? So I would say that, and I don't know if you agree, Danielle, I think the first thing is that they have to be accountable for their actions and not when they're accolading themselves, not accountable like, well, I do this for you and I do that for you and I do this for you. That's not being accountable. Being accountable is, damn, I'm sorry. You're right. I shouldn't have done that. Or damn, I'm sorry. I did leave you that way. Or, wow, my bad. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. Or, oh, I didn't look at it that way. right? That's what a normal person should say to you. Not, well, what did you expect? Look what you did.
Right.
What? Huh? Right. What'd I do?
Right. Why did I do nothing? Right, exactly.
What I do. And then you have to also evaluate yourself, because you have to look at who and what you are and why you allow toxic people into your life and why you allow someone to abuse you. You're not intentionally doing that, right? But inadvertently you are, because you're allowing people to treat you a certain way. And that comes from your own self-esteem and your own, backlog of issues. So, if you're attracted to these type of people, yes, they are very magnetic and it makes a lot of sense. But if you allow this behavior, once you recognize that this behavior is actually happening, now you have to take a step back and figure out, what role you're going to play in this.
I agree.
Or not. Right. So we're at the closing here. So what would be your words of wisdom when it comes to, a narcissist? And again, the topic for the show today was, why do people gravitate to narcissists and or mean people? And we didn't really touch a lot on the mean people thing. There's a lot to discuss with this, right? So what would be your closing argument?
Take into accountability who they are. I mean, some people are young and they don't really know, or they haven't had experience with people who are narcissistic, so they don't see the red flags. Don't ignore the red flags. If a person has been single for a very long time, can't hold down a relationship, and they say, oh, it was her fault. Yeah. Chances are not her fault, And don't think that you're going to be the one to fix them. I'm going to be the one to fix him. You'll see. No, that doesn't work either. If you see these tendencies, if you see anything that alarms you, talk about it. Talk about it with somebody.
Run, Forrest.
Right, look it up online and then put on your sneakers and hit the hills. Because listen to me, there'll be somebody else out there that's good in bed. Just run as far away as possible. Save yourself, save your soul. There's a lot of heartache and there's a lot of torment involved with being and dating a narcissist. And then the self-care that you need after the fact, because they'll leave you in destruction. So as Karen said, run far and fast.
Run, Forrest, run. Right. Yeah, no, it is true. You can't change people. The only thing you can do is, and I'm big on that. I'm always big on, there's got to be something I can say that will make somebody see something. And, there are some people that that's very true. And then there are other people that you could say it till you're blue in the face and they ain't listening. So it's a very challenging thing. And being in an abusive, codependent relationship is definitely not something that's going to nourish your soul. It will actually do the opposite. So, a lot of times some of us, we are at a low level in our life or a low point, if you will, in our life. And these people are able to wiggle in. So, just be self-aware, and be mindful of the people around you and their accountability. That's the best thing I can say. I also want to say that I hope everybody has a very happy holiday. Today is Tuesday. So next Tuesday is actually Christmas, right?
Yes.
So, we obviously will not be here next Tuesday.
Or the following is it New Year's.
No, the following Tuesday is actually the kids. the kids are back to school.
Not my kids.
Really?
Yeah, man. My kids don't get off of school. When's, let's see. My kids go back to
school. They go back January 2nd over here.
Oh, no. Mine don't go back until the 8th.
Oh, wow. When do they get off?
Friday.
Oh, wow. Well, make sure your son does not tell my son that. yeah. They're back on Tuesday. So I guess that would be, so it might be tough for you to do the show. Okay. We'll see if Danielle can have quiet in her home or not, the day after New Year's. But, you know, again, I know we're not allowed to say these things. It's not politically correct, but you know what? Hanukkah just passed. I hope people had a happy Hanukkah. I wish everybody a Merry Christmas. I wish everybody a Happy New Year. Just want to remind anybody that is listening, if you are in the Westchester area, Fridays, we're doing Freestyle Fridays at Fire and Oak, which is Croton on the Hudson. And then we're also doing a New Year's Eve party. So if you guys have nothing to do, it's the best deal in town. All you got to do is pay for your booze. Everything else is included, and we're going to have some fun. So I hope that everybody has a Merry Christmas and a happy and a healthy New Year. Danielle, you want to say anything before we close it up?
Nope, just the same. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Everybody stay safe. Be careful while you're out in the streets. People are crazy. And enjoy your loved ones. That's it.
That's it. All right. Well, we love you guys. Have a happy and a healthy, and we will see you soon.
Yep. Bye.